You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to the Canned Air Podcast, your sidekick in the quest for knowledge, power, and entertainment. So strap yourselves in and prepare for victory!
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Canned Air, your tribute to comics and pop culture. I am Jeremy Colley.
I am Jack Doherty.
And we've got a good episode lined up for you today. Very fantasy-inspired episode today. If you're into fantasy, you're going to find yourself right at home here, because first, in our retro roundtable, we're talking about just that. The fantasy realm and movies, television shows, video games,
books if you fancy a book,
wherever you're getting your fantasy, that's where we're going to talk about it. Then after that, we're going to welcome Benjamin Martian and Andrew Kohler, the co-creators of the show Tig Tone, currently on Adult Swim, premiering since first came on January 13th.
Yep.
And has every Sunday night been playing, I think, two new episodes. The descriptions they give, they sound pretty darn entertaining. You're going to want to check those out.
Tig Tone from the creators of Tig Tone. I forgot to ask. I was going to ask him about how that came about.
Because it's funny. It's not wrong.
No,
it's not wrong. But before we do all that, you got to be sure to find us on Twitter at CannedAirPod and on Instagram at Canned_Air, where we're going to be putting all kinds of links to things we're doing and talking about on the shows, and probably just some yucks here and there.
And lots of yucks.
And don't forget to find us on Patreon. We have a whole other show that happens over there. How many we have under our belt now? 15 episodes, I think.
Over a dozen.
Yeah, we've got over a dozen, which doesn't seem like a lot, but boy, it's a lot when you're only doing one of those
worth
a month.
Yeah, it's over a year's
more
worth.
Than a year's worth. So $5 a month, you get in on that, and you know we stay pretty close with our Patreon people, and we are always welcoming a suggestion. You get control of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least at this juncture is what it seems like.
What do you want to hear us talk about? We'll do it.
Yeah, we've been doing it for those that are already backing us, and we'll continue to do it.
Wizard World's back again this year. Doing it again, 10% off your tickets with the promo code CannedAir at checkout. Get you a cool 10% off, and we also have a new perk. If you sign up, well, give us a like on our Facebook page and go to our website, you can sign up for a 3-day priority platinum tickets, two tickets, you and a friend, to go to the show that we are promoting for that month, I guess it'll be.
Well, yeah, it's whichever Wizard World show is coming up.
Yep.
Yeah. That's the one we'll be giving two passes away for. And these are awesome passes. They get you, early access to the floor each day. You get premium seating at all the panels, which we've had the experience of accidentally sitting in these seats in the past and being told, sir, not for you, and ushered to the back. Yeah. So that could be you, as we're being ushered away. Us keeping your seat warm for you in
the
front
row, seat warmers,
while David Tennant comes out and entertains you personally. But same with autographs. You're first in line for any autograph session. And trust me, if you're planning on getting an autograph, boy, that's a hell of a good deal.
Yeah.
You ask me, because sometimes those lines can get a little hairy. Discounts, I think there are discounts you can get throughout the convention.
Yeah, vendors, you let them know that you have the pass, show them your lanyard that you'll get, and they often have giveaways.
And, you know, seeing as these cons typically one day to get in are anywhere from $50 to $60 just to walk in the door, I mean, all you have to do is like a Facebook page and go to the
submit
website.
Submit your name and email.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's about it. And then we'll do a Facebook Live about a week before the show. If you are in the Portland, Oregon area, the con is February 22nd, 3rd, and 4th. So if you're going to go, try to sign up for the contest or use the 10% off code. get you, save you some money.
Don't try. Sign up for the contest. Well, yeah, do or do not, Jack.
If you don't win, you still get 10% off, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's win-win.
Yeah. Extra money in your pocket to spend at the con to get those.
Which, every little bit helps, doesn't it?
You get a real-life replica sword or something like that.
Captain America's shield. Winking at someone out there. One more thing I need to mention here really quick. At the end of the episode, we're going to be playing the song Get Found by the band Quiet. That's spelled without the U, Q-I-E-T, from their album Driftwood. We had James Maddox on the show few weeks ago, and he's the bass player for that band, and my God, I'm hooked. Love this group, and we've been talking to them, and they're going to be sending us songs to be tacking on to the end of some future episodes here, so look forward to that, and again, stay tuned at the end of the episode for the song Get Found. I strongly recommend it. Let's kick it off with this week's Retro Roundtable.
Good night, everybody.
All right, Jack. So the fantasy realm in movies, television, and video games, where do we start? What's first on your list? I know your list is probably longer than mine. This is a genre I think you frequent more than I do.
I had two that popped into mind when you first told me about the topic. Mm-hmm. And the first one, I'm not sure why, but it was from the game Mass Effect.
I never played that.
Three games and a third one that takes place years after the first trilogy that not a lot of people liked. I'm playing it. I'm enjoying it so far. It's Mass Effect. It's just a storyline. And it's kind of like Star Trek, where on Earth, everyone gets together or gets along pretty much. We're the newcomers with aliens. They've all been around millions of years. They know all their different races.
So you're telling me everybody on Earth united to hate on other people? Other
races?
Well,
no, they united each other. The humans are looked down on because they're basically the baby race.
Come on, humans are hating on somebody if they're not hating on each other. They're hating on someone. Anyway, I'm sorry.
But it's just the whole story and the lore that goes along with it.
Sure.
And the new one, a group of people got on a ship, went into cryo for 500 years to find this new place in the Andromeda galaxy, and a whole bunch of crazy stuff's going on.
Did they ever make a movie out of that?
Uh-uh. They had a TV show called Andromeda that I think Kevin Sorbo.
Oh, no, that was, well, yeah, you're correct, that was, but that was actually a Gene Roddenberry production. I don't think that was
that is
associated with that, but so that's fantasy, though? I mean, considered in the realm of, like, I'm thinking, like, Lord of the Rings kind of stuff. How does it bring me there? I don't know Mass Effect.
It's make-believe, so I figured fantasy. Okay.
So anything qualifies.
Sure, yeah.
Okay. All right, well, I'm ever so curious for your second offering you have.
But the second one kind of falls right in exactly where you were going with that.
Okay. Maybe I should have been more specific. Okay. The elephant in the room, I think, when this kind of genre is mentioned, is Lord of the Rings.
Sure.
Why not bear mentioning? Why not mention it? It's been mentioned. Let's move on.
Next.
How about Fable? Remember the video game Fable?
Vaguely. I remember you can kick chickens and fart around people all that you wanted, and they would make kind of grotesque sounds when you did it, but it was fun.
Taking the best parts from the game as always. No, I think I played the second one and wasn't quite as enthralled with it, and I think they had, what, four of them? Three, four? I know there were at least
something.
Three.
Yeah, there was definitely three, and then there was an offshoot, which didn't go very well, and they ended up shutting it down.
It got too full of itself, I think. Mm. But the first one was pretty awesome. Did you play it?
I played a little bit of it. I think a roommate was switched off playing
you
it.
You just were kicking chickens and farting on people.
No, I was going through it. I didn't like... I think there was something... Maybe it's because I wasn't playing it all by my own, so I didn't get myself into the story and what was going on. Switching off between me and my buddy, so you didn't really get
into the whole game itself, because
sure,
you're only playing half the time.
Right.
But like switching around into the maps and stuff.
Like a Super Mario Brothers where you're Luigi, yeah, and you could give a good goddamn about the game's progress just that you've got someone to talk to, I guess.
I'd be Luigi and die instantly and then watch my friends clear the
game. Play for like 20 minutes, yeah. Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
But yeah, I couldn't get into the game. I don't know. Maybe it's just because the direction, I didn't understand where to go or what to do next.
Well, that was just kind of the beauty of it. I mean, there were different ways you could go. And depending on where you went, depended on your outcome, if you were good or evil. If you were a hero for the people, or if you were like someone that they feared. And, you know, it was funny because it was a long game for what I remember. Mm-hmm. And I might even still have it downstairs. We might be able to play it, Jack. But in the early stages, when I was still like doing heroic stuff, whenever I'd walk into a town, people would stop what they're doing and applaud and cheer and, you know, welcome you. And over the time, you know, I found certain churches in the woods where you could sacrifice certain people and get goods for like said sacrifices. And, you know, in doing so, you know, not only does your reputation change, but your physical being changes too. Like your skin starts kind of like Sith, I guess, would be. Your skin starts to gray, kind of go white, grayish. Your eyes start to turn yellow or red, or I can't remember if you could choose that or not, but I think you even got horns if you got evil enough.
Yeah, you start growing horns.
But it got to the point where I'd walk into a village and people would see you and just run, like run for their houses and lock themselves in, and you could just pillage the land. But I got taken down by some authorities and thrown in prison, which is part of the game. I think everybody, you know, it happens to everybody. It's just part of your progression. But, you know, getting out of that cell is a puzzle in itself, but they don't give you any hints on how it's solved. And there's a timer going, and it's like every minute that passes is a year.
Oh my.
Right. So you have to quickly figure out this puzzle on how to get out of this cell. And by the time I did, my dude was elderly. He'd lost all the hair on top. He had like, I'm trying to think of what his hair, kind of like Schmeagle hair almost, kind of like bald on top and long stringy strands on the back. And it was just decrepit. So here you have this evil dude, his gray skin, black eyes, horns, and old as fuck, you know? But it was so much fun. Just talking about it kind of makes me want to play it again. But I think you could even, like, take a wife in that game. Like,
yeah, have I remember a family. You could get married because you had to court people or try to get like them to fall in love with you.
Like a very bare minimum, like, side mission of Sims going on there, you know? But
I know when if you went the good side, you would start getting like angel-esque where you would kind of glow a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah. That's all I know about it. I remember I played the second one because I got it free on Xbox Live. And I think I farted around in the beginning.
You had an aura.
Yeah.
And wouldn't even townspeople build effigies of you? Like,
you would think so.
No, I think they did. Like, did they? In the later games, maybe not that first one, but I think you would come into town, there'd be like a statue of you there if you had been their hero.
That'd make me feel pretty good.
Wouldn't it, though?
Like, I own this biatch.
And I heard in the sequels they upped the chicken kicking and farting sequences. So
I played the second one for 2 hours, I think, and I feel like I got nowhere in the beginning of it. And I think that was just the drawback of the second game. Might have been the third one. I don't know. It was just real long starting out, but once it started going, it was good.
That's about where I was with it. I started it and I kind of got disinterested. I don't know. There were too many side things happening, and it seemed like the game got too busy. Like after the first one was such a hit, they're like, well, we'll do this. You know, we'll make the same game, but add a million different new things to it. Just, I don't know. When you have a good equation, like Call of Duty, just tweak it a little bit and then sell it again. Yeah. You know? We loved the first one. We don't need a whole revamping.
It's been 100 hours on the game and you haven't even got out of the town.
Yeah.
Because you're just too busy doing everything else.
Yeah, I was fishing, then I was farming, then I was cooking a bunch of stuff, and then I went over and talked to this guy for a little while.
I think you could even, like, there'd be times I'd log into the game and I'd just go into the tavern and, like, sit down and play. I think this was the same game. This could have even been the first Red Dead Redemption. But I think you could sit down and, like, play games and, like, wager money and stuff. Mm. Like with people sitting at tables in there already, so I think I did a fair share of that.
Going it was just a fun game. On a game,
yeah, yeah, oh yeah. It was a fun game, but we're back to you. I'm anxious to hear this other pick, World of Warcraft.
Yeah, easy. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I got that on my list too. I figured it would be on yours.
I don't know why, because I would probably just be a normal, common townsfolk living in one of the main big cities. I would be a nobody, and it's. I don't know. Maybe just because the lore is so interesting. I don't know why.
You mean if you were to live in that
world? Yeah, if I was there. Mm-hmm. It'd just be day to day and be like, man, I wish I could live in the world of this book or something. But I don't know. I just spent so much time in Warcraft that...
I miss that. You still play regularly?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I didn't know that. I miss... Not necessarily that, but I miss having an MMO that I'm like indulged in. Mm-hmm. Like, there's so much fun when it's clicking with you. You know, like that Star Wars one did with me, the Galaxies. I loved that game.
Yeah,
but Old Republic?
The Old Republic. Yep,
that wasn't a bad game, but no. I never got too far in it. Like when it came
depending
to, like,
on who you played with,
crafting and stuff, I wasn't very good at it, and I was becoming laborious on. I think you and Jeff. Was Jeff playing?
I feel like we had dipped out person. For a while.
We had another person. I thought maybe not.
I know it was one of your friends or a couple of your friends were wanting you to play, but they were directing you what to do and how to do and why to do.
Yeah.
Which takes all the fun out of
it. That's not fun. That's what happens at work. I don't come to a game to be dictated to. But, okay, speaking of fantasy games, have you ever played the original? Probably not, because you said you never had a Nintendo, but the original Legend of Zelda.
Oh, yeah.
Have you?
Mm-hmm.
Like the old 8-bit game?
Yep.
Where'd you play it?
I think I might have rented it, or maybe I had it when I finally did get an NES, but I had friends that had it too, so
okay.
I had them play it. The most I know is Link to the Past.
The second one?
Yeah.
Like the side-scroller?
No. It was when it came out for Super Nintendo, The Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
My bad. I know which one you're talking about.
Which was still all top-down, so it was kind of the same, but looked a lot better.
Well, I had never played it. I mean, I'd seen it before. I know I'm aware of what it is. But by the time I was still playing Atari, I think, when people were playing Legend of Zelda when it came out, you know. So I got on the Nintendo wagon a little late. But, I never played that game. So I have a Switch now, and it's on the Switch Marketplace to play. So I was like, okay, I'm going to try it. You know, it's about time. I hear nothing but great stuff about these games. I'm going to do it. So I started a game, and I'm telling you, 10 minutes in, I was like, fuck this. Now, and mind you, it's not to speak to the merit of the game, because I mean, it's the first, open world game that you can just kind of openly walk around in. And that's pretty freaking incredible for the time. With nothing else to compare it to, had to have been... Like the first time we played Grand Theft Auto 3. Remember that kind of freedom for the first time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I can kill and take her car? You know, like...
Whatever I want?
Yeah, so... But now that just seems kind of... Well, so what? Like, when's the last time you ever got into Grand Theft Auto and killed a prostitute and took your money back
or whatever? I've never done that. I've always been perfect.
Yeah.
I stop at every stop sign, too.
You know, I have a buddy who sometimes when he plays GTA, he does that. He'll obey the traffic laws.
I do it.
You do it, too?
Yeah, just... I don't know why.
Just occasionally, just because, though.
Yeah, not all the time.
Okay. You're not playing the whole game on traffic.
No.
All right. Because this dude's a cop, and I think he's, like, doing it all the time.
Oh,
like,
God. Lose your missions.
Well, yeah, because there are some time ones. I'm sure he's got cut loose now and then, right? But go ahead.
I say back to Zelda. I don't know. A lot of those old NES games, I don't think I could play, not for the fact of it, just because it's so old and looks cheap. And the gameplay might be a little janky, but those maps are so goddamn big. I'd have to have Nintendo Power with that.
It's true. I you know, had only come between like maybe 9 of them, and they seemed like I was already getting lost. I mean, I, you know, the lake I could like maneuver my way around because, you know, as long as you got a border, you know somewhere about where you're
right.
at. But I mean, not only that, but the enemies, and it was difficult. Mm-hmm. And it just like that in so many games. You know, a lot of games nowadays kind of take your hand and walk you through them. Not all, but a lot. And you know, even like the campaigns on some of these Call of Duty games. I mean, I know you can get into certain games where you can like just make an all-out war with other people or just, you know, just bots. But like if you're doing the campaign, you're really kind of taken by the hand and led down a path. Like kill this many people, go there.
Yeah.
Go there. Where this has no direction. Mm-mm. You're just left to figure it out. And
here's the sword. Bye.
Yeah.
What was it? You wake up or something like that because someone's talking to you in your dream.
I only got 10 minutes in, Jack. I couldn't tell you. But I'm anxious to get that new one for Switch and play it. Do you have that one?
Yes.
Was it good?
I like it. Yeah. It's fun.
Did you finish it?
No.
No. How far did you get?
I've got, there's five beasts that you have to kill to be able to kill Ganon, and I've killed 2 of them. I think there's no keeping one weapon. You're constantly flipping through weapons because they break after so much usage, which kind of sucks.
That's how they've all kind of been, right? Except for the first one. I mean, you always have the one little sword, right?
No, if you don't have a sword, then
not even
get a stick. Your swords, they slowly break, which that kind of sucks. I guess some stuff lasts a little bit longer, I guess, but yeah, you always have to have multiple shields and swords in your backpack.
I'm anxious to play that next. I think it'll be a lot of fun. How big's the map, would you say?
Oh my god, I don't even
GTA
know.
Big?
Huge, yeah. Might be bigger. Because I know I've gone all the way to the other side of the map, at least it seems, and I can see over, like, the beast will stand up on, like, a high plateau, shooting a beam right at Ganon, right in the center of the map, and you can see one of them all the way on the other side. It's insane how big it is.
That little description right there already has me sold. That sounds awesome. That sounds really cool.
And Misty watches me play, and I like to take the long way, like get my horse and ride to somewhere instead of doing the quick travel.
Mm-hmm.
I just like to see the scenery, I guess. I don't know.
No, I get it too. I mean, when I would play Red Dead Redemption, the original one, you know, there were so many times I would just, instead of taking the coach between cities, I would go for a ride. And sometimes you'd find cool shit out there.
Yeah,
or you'd come across another adventure, or you see an outlaw running, go lasso them.
That's
up.
How the second one is, just like that, too.
Yeah.
You never know what you're going to find.
Especially when you get up in the mountains where the woods and the bears and shit were. Yeah. You know, like, oh, yeah, I'm definitely riding through there. I want to see what I can kill. Not that I would ever do that in real life, but one thing here's one. Disenchanted, the Matt Groening show. Have you watched any of that?
I think I got halfway through it.
I have really grown, I grew attached to that show, but for some reason, like with no other show happens on Netflix, but with that one, it tends to freeze up about halfway through any episode.
I think that I've had a couple of issues where it wouldn't even load on the show a couple of times.
Oh, Disenchanted?
Yeah.
And I don't know if that just means it's like high volume being watched.
That's what I feel it is.
At any given moment. I mean, that's what it was that first weekend. We couldn't watch it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I was really mad because I was excited. But even recently, I've gone back and it still seems to do it. So unless it's really getting that much traffic, and I hope it is for...
They got another season I think they're coming out with.
Do they?
Yep.
It was good. I enjoy what I've seen thus far. I've already grown attached to Bean, the main character.
Say, last I saw, Bean had the party with the Vikings at the while her dad went away. That was the last one I saw. Yeah.
Yeah.
He sent her away and she came back on the episode that I was watching.
And that the little shadow devil guy,
Lucy.
He had that show, that really crazy talk show.
Is it a celebrity that does that voice?
Yes.
I had no idea who that was.
Eric Andre. Him. He did that really weird talk show where like he would destroy his desk every week and
I never saw that show.
Celebrities on and just to piss them off. And It isn't humor I could really get into, but anyway, it's a good show, and I'm anxious to finish it. The king, her dad, always has some very good one-liners that always catch me out pretty well. But one thing I think that should be mentioned before we move this conversation on, as far as fantasy goes, and people are going to say duh, but you know, Star Wars, I think, is just Lord of the Rings in space, right?
I would say so.
I mean, without the ring, there's really no ring.
Not the plot so much, but just
the genre, that kind of realm, but just in space in the future kind of thing, right?
Yeah, instead of troping across the land, you're doing it to other planets.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think I almost said Star Wars, but I was like, that'd be too easy.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Jack. Too easy. I'll put that back in my bag of tricks, and let's go back to Lord of the Rings. We should probably talk about that a little bit more. But I mean, those were great films. They did have some cringeworthy moments for me. Like, I mean, you've seen Clerks too, right?
Oh yeah.
When they have the debate about Return of the King and Return of the Jedi. And Randall goes on to say about at the end when, I'm not going to say it word for word, but when Sam comes in and gives Frodo that freaking look, you think he's just going to start, I'm not going to finish what he says, but it's disgusting. I couldn't agree more. Like, that end thing was a bit much. Like, it seemed like almost romantic.
It like, did. But at the same time, you had to understand hobbits, how they were. That's how their species or race is. They're just happy-go-lucky.
They just used a lot of like glowy, airy filters when filming that ending. Like, really honed in on the white light. It was almost like they were doing everybody. A laundry detergent commercial in the next room, you know. But anyway,
I've been here at your bedside the whole time you were sleeping.
I still wish I don't think I have all three. I've got two of them. I don't know which two I have. I think I need the middle one, maybe. But they're things that I like to watch when I'm sick. Like, oh, I gotta lay on the couch for hours on end. Let's watch Lord of the Rings, you know?
Oh, yeah, that's a good 3 hours.
On one of them, right?
Yeah.
So, and when they put out those uncut ones, what they were like, what'd they turn into? Like 5 hours each with all that uncut stuff put back in?
No, it was.
Remember they put out those big box sets?
9 hours, so it was like 12 hours altogether, I think, for the three when they did the
extended. Yeah, so yeah. like a four. Wow, that's a commitment.
When I had the roommates, we tried doing that in a day.
Watched
all three of them, yeah. And I think by the end of the last one, because I think we had started drinking in the middle somewhere.
How do you not?
So we never did finish it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like doing once episode 9 comes out, doing a whole Star Wars.
Oh my God.
That's a whole day, more than a day at least.
Are you excited about that at all?
The new one?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
My excitement's really, honestly, been sucked out of the room, like for Star Wars, which sucks because The Force Awakens was so good. Mm-hmm. Really enjoyed it. Really nailed it. So maybe he'll bring it home with this one.
I hope so. Even the new shows, like the new one that's on with the Disney Channel, Alliance or I don't know, it takes place before Resistance. That's what it is, the new show that's on.
Like a new cartoon show? Or
It's not that great. I can't get into it. Not all I can do with Rebels.
That was a good show. I never got to watch all of it because for some reason Disney pops in and out of our availability like.
I can't even tell you.
I don't know what the deal is. Like, there must be some bad negotiations going on between Dish Network and Disney because
we're gonna need a little more money.
They can't work their shit out. We don't got
the money now. So we're gonna have to shut your channel off for a couple months.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah,
until you pay your bill.
I'm anxious to see that new series. I think Jon Favreau's doing The Mandalorian. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I've seen a little bit of pictures of it. That I'm curious.
Yeah, yeah, it looks cool. I mean, anything. That's like a live action filming that's not the holiday special that's outside the movies that's canon is pretty incredible, you know? Yep. I mean, they're effectively mimicking what Marvel's doing, right? You know, because shows like Daredevil, Punisher, which if you haven't started season 2 yet,
I have heard, yeah.
Holy cow, watch it. But you know, where they're having, you know, a canon universe on television as well. Mm-hmm. So I hope they don't explain away too much, like we were talking about, you know. It always goes back to Star Wars on this show, doesn't it? We're talking about fantasy, and here we are back at Star Wars.
John Favreau brought us Iron Man, so he's got to be doing good for Star Wars, I think.
It's a good point.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm putting my money down on. Happy Hogan.
Happy Hogan. One other fantasy thing to list, I guess. You kind of mentioned Kevin Sorbo a little bit ago. Totally forgot about Hercules and Xena. Those were kind of set in the fantasy realm, right?
Yep.
I mean, they had centaurs and shit like that, right? Yeah,
that'd be
giants. They're probably just a few hills away from hobbits, right?
I would have liked to live in the Xena world.
Me too.
Chase around her sidekick.
Oh, the sidekick? Mm-hmm. Oh, I'd have been going after Xena.
She's too beastly for me. Beastly woman.
Throw me around, Xena, please. Make snoo snoo.
Toss those rings at me.
You know, it's the funniest thing. I think it was on Nintendo 64 back in the day. I used to scour, like, this was before, like, the Walmart super centers were even existing. Like, our old hometown Walmart had just, you know, bins of discounted video games they were just trying to get rid of. Kind of like they have $5 movie bins, you know? And I was digging through there one day just looking for a Nintendo 64 game. Like, I had a $5 bill in my pocket. These were $5 games. If it had Nintendo 64 on it, if it wasn't sports, I was buying it. I pulled out Xena Warrior Princess, the fighting game.
Like Mortal Kombat fighting?
Yeah.
Like one on...
Yeah, one really? On one fighting. Yeah, who would ever think to make that?
Mm-hmm.
And I want to think this was even past its prime. I don't think this was while Xena was happening. Now, mind you, this was in like a clearance bin, so obviously it's probably...
It had to have been that good.
Yeah, but the price was right, Jack. The price was right. And that's how I ended up with Superman 64, too. I didn't learn my lesson, it would seem. But I think
they're in the $5 bin for a reason.
I think I had fun with the Xena game. I would play with my sister, if I remember correctly. But you could be her. You could be the girl you like. What was her name? Do you remember the sidekick's name at all?
It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't think of what it was.
But, yeah, I remember it being fun. Not fun enough to keep. I traded it pretty quick, but...
Who were the other characters? Were they, like, known villains from the show?
Probably, but I wasn't familiar enough with the show.
Didn't watch a show enough.
It was a fighting game for $5. It didn't matter who was fighting.
And it was Xena.
And I think if you got her to do her special move, you get that...
I was going to say, did they have that in there?
It's so funny. It's, you know, every time I think of... Kevin Sorbo or Xena, I think of when I got to talk to him at that Wizard, what was that, 3 years ago?
Yeah.
And, you know, you have these perceptions of how you think somebody's going to be, and I would have never kind of pegged him, and maybe I still have pegged him wrong, but after the interview, we were just kind of, you know, bullshit talking, and he seemed kind of like a preppy kind of golfer kind of guy, you know?
I could see that.
Yeah, and he goes... Hey, you know, where you live? And I'm like, oh, just over off, you know, told him. And he goes, oh, that's over near so-and-so course. I was just over there today. He's like, you golf over there much? You know, I have to look at this dude who I just, you know, was like, wow, yeah, let's talk, interview and stuff. He's like, I was like, no, dude, I don't really golf a whole lot. And he just kind of looks and goes, oh, yeah. All right, well, it's fun talking with you. You know, we kind of parted ways with that. But
imagine like Alice Cooper, you're talking to him and... interviewing him and stuff, and then he brings up golf and you're like, I don't want to golf.
Wow, that's...
And then he just be like, write you off instantly from there.
Well, Kevin Sorbo is no Alice Cooper.
True.
I would make it work if it were Alice Cooper.
Yeah, I golf every once in a while there, Alice. Will you?
Yeah. Anyway, that was fun.
Putt count?
All right, I think that's going to do it for fantasy talk. Anything else we can cover?
Mm-mm.
Like, I want to say there's some television shows we're not thinking of. It'll probably hit me like a ton of bricks when we're done, but...
As they all do most of the time.
Yeah, yeah.
It all comes to us after we hit stop on the record button.
You know what would be a fantasy? If someone actually bought our fucking t-shirts, Jack.
Yes, it would.
It would be a dream come true at society6.com/CanDarePod. And I shouldn't say that because occasionally we sell one. We'll see a few dollars come in. Someone's bought a mug, a decal, a shirt... And we are eternally grateful. But we understand sometimes they might be a little pricey. That's why we always kind of push for the decals. Those seem to be a lot
anytime
more
anytime I see a sale or free shipping, I try to plug that just because I know. $25, yeah. I think it is, for a shirt. It's kind of expensive for a t-shirt.
It is a little pricey indeed, but yeah, exactly. That's why the decals and stuff like that are there. And I think those decals are pretty darn good quality.
They're awesome, yeah.
They are amazing. And what else is there on the smaller end?
Again, coasters.
Mugs, coasters.
The can koozie.
Yeah.
Or cooler, I think. There's yoga mats that I could put some decals on.
Ooh.
I think even wrapping paper is a new thing coming to the...
Wrapping paper. That's a colossal waste of money, but it would probably be like $50 for a roll, and it'd probably be...
Yeah,
probably. I probably shouldn't be saying this on the commercial. It's not good PR, but hey, I'm just calling it like I see it, you know? Remember the one time we actually did make... we had one of the first contests we did when the... When we had our
the
winner,
box. Yeah, we
wrapped actually
the box
printed canned air wrapping paper,
yeah,
and wrapped the box in it, and... Did we put like a balloon or something? I felt like we did something on the inside that when he opened it, like balloons and shit would come out. Like we went all
it was
the
something, yeah,
fuck
something
out,
like,
and
we never heard
package.
Nothing from it.
Well, tis the way on Canned Air.
Yeah.
You know, we see that we have all these people listening, and none of them reach out to us. So, I mean, we're a bunch of ghosts are out there listening to us. We can see the numbers, people. We know you're there.
Yeah,
but
show yourself.
Right. Step forward, child. Anyway, society6.com/cannedairpod. Get yourself a mug, a decal, a shirt, a yoga mat. Just buy
something. Buy something, yeah.
And now joining us to talk about their new show, Tig Tone on Adult Swim, we have creators Benjamin Martian and Andrew Kohler. Gentlemen, thank you so much for being here to talk about this awesome show with us today.
Hello. Hello.
I don't even know where to start with this show other than, I mean, we've seen it. We know how awesome it is. But to those out there who haven't seen it yet, I was wondering if you guys could give a quick description of Tig Tone.
There's lots of yelling. Yeah, there's lots of yelling, lots of discomfort, and lots of magic.
Those are I'd say it describes it very well.
And adventures and quests and artifacts and items and blood and guts.
The quest for quests.
We can just list all the tropes and you can piece it together in your head from there. Right. In sentence form, Tig Tone is a satirical fantasy comedy animated. Which involves our titular hero, Tig Tone, and his sidekick, Helpy, going on many a quest through slashing his way. What does it say? What do we have on the thing? Slashing his way through a satirical fantasy landscape.
With melodramatic ferocity.
Oh, yes, melodramatic ferocity. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
I absolutely love it.
Someone kind of summed it up pretty well in a post I saw where they said that basically we've taken all of the flavor text and written a show with it.
It's quite the enjoyable show. I mean, I had a hell of a lot of fun with it. I couldn't stop laughing. The freaking line that caught me out that I had to rewind because, like, did I hear that right? Are you friend or are you foe real?
Classic. Classic Tig Tone.
It was great. It was great. But just as funny as this show is, something that must be addressed is the gorgeous animation. You don't see anything quite like this. I mean, when we first saw it,
I haven't seen anything like it.
No, when we were first talking about it, you know, it made me think of like old motion comics. Mm-hmm. But I mean, a motion comic looks sloppy compared to this. I mean, you guys were actually using like digital face mapping for this animation, right?
Yeah, it's motion capture. The close, like you could kind of it. Some people think it kind of resembles like those like Snapchat filters where you get like, you know, Barack Obama's face on you and stuff or whatever, and you can like talk with his face or something. It kind of has a similar akin to that, but you know, this was a technique that Andrew developed like years before any of this technology was like readily available. So.
Wow.
I have expected it to look like the Jib Jab cartoons, where it's kind of like Terrence and Phillip on South Park like that. I haven't seen the actual motion. Right.
Jib Jab wishes they were Ting Tong.
Seriously.
So you designed this technology yourself? Is that this program? Or I'm sorry, I'm a novice here. I don't know what the word is for it.
When I first started animating, I wanted to use like 3D models. Like, there are websites that were selling 3D models that you could just buy and download, and I didn't have to do any work. And I was like, if I can just buy the models, and if I can just do mocap, then it's going to be really cheap. And then the 3D mocap still wound up being really expensive. So I was like, I could take everything I learned about 3D mocap and try to apply it to 2D. And for that, I needed to use like 3 separate programs, like this horrible chimera of technology that took forever, just so that I could be lazy to try and get this animation to work. And it wound up looking just, you know, freakishly bizarre.
Are you guys still using that same process?
And it turned out to be way more complicated. What's that?
Are you still using that same process, or do you get to upgrade?
Oh, it's similar. Everything is done with After Effects still, but we're able to do everything within the program now. We only have to use one program instead of 3, which saves a lot of time and actually allows for a lot more flexibility. We're able to do things now that we weren't able to do before, like really, you know, subtly. Because after we do the mocap, the animators tweak it pretty heavily, and they're able to do that. And we couldn't do that before without, you know, running the footage through several programs. So, definitely an upgrade.
I mean, the weird thing about it though is that we're using 3D motion capture, but we're smashing it onto 2D images, which is like the reason you haven't seen anything kind of that looks similar to this is because it shouldn't be done. Like, there's no reason to do it this way. It just doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Like, the reason you shoot 3D motion capture is so you have the luxury of, like, you know, having a 3D model that you can then shoot in digital space in 3 dimensions. And all we have are like 4 angles of our characters. So we actually have to like strap our heads down into a chair that we made so that we don't throw the registration off for the alignment of the faces for the different angles. So we actually have a workout bench with like an ambulance neck brace bolted to it so that we can just pinch our heads in. And then we have a camera bolted to the wall that we can then, you know, it's on a monopod, so we can adjust it to get different angles. And then, you know, we record all the mocap data that way.
That's incredible.
And it hurts.
I'm sure it does, having to clamp your head in there. You know, you mentioned
it sucks. It's not like, it's not comfortable at all.
I can't imagine. No, I saw that video of you guys doing that, and yeah, it did not look the least bit comfortable at all. So, you know, the more pain, the more gain, I guess, right?
Yeah, and that's why TikTok has to be an easier way to make the show. there has to be an easier way to make the show. But I think all of the bizarre steps that we have to take to get to the finished product, each step adds another layer of what.
Sure. You know, we've talked about on the show before about, you know, people kind of, you know, taking, you know, whether it be animation or music or whatever your craft is, and doing it kind of their own way. You said earlier, you know, it shouldn't be done this way, but, you know, doing it this way and having such a great result could, you know, spawn a whole new format of animation. Everyone could be copying then what Ting Tong is doing. And, you know, you guys might laugh, but I think it's very possible.
Yeah, I mean,
it's interesting because we talked, you know, there was a brief discussion at one point of doing like a 3D Ting Tong model, but still presenting it as if, you know, kind of how South Park is animated technically, you know, 3D, it's in Maya, but it's still replicating the cardboard or the paper cutout. That just didn't seem to like fit the spirit of the show to be like, yeah, let's fake it, you know. Because like Andrew said, the convoluted process is just, it mirrors the content of the show so beautifully. And it just is like such a great pairing, you know?
Right. Wow. Well, my hat.
And also
off
some
to you
people,
guys.
Oh, no, thank you. And, one of the greatest unintended results is that there are people complaining that the looking at the style of animation makes them sick. Or that it makes them upset.
My wife is kind of on that fence, I think. She couldn't stop looking, but she at the same time she was
like kind of mortified, like getting nauseous from
it. Yeah, just because of the way it moves and stuff. She's like, I can't, what is this?
Really?
Yeah.
I did not experience that.
Everything else added to the shots, like we have. I mean, the show is just as much a visual effects show as it is an animated show. And the reason that the characters, like, first of all, we're constricted to the animation style for the bodies because we only have, you know, I think two or three poses of Tigtone's body. A front, a three-quarter, and a more of a front-facing three-quarter. And every time we move, like if we need a new pose or him holding an object or something, that's an entirely new painting of an arm that needs to get made. Wow. So we're really limited in our body motion, but the fact that we're relying so heavily on the face performance, it's really more akin to like a live action. We kind of always think about it in terms of live action, in terms of like the staging and the blocking and the cameras, what lenses we might be using if this was like an actual like shot production, a live action production. So I think that kind of like adds to the quality of it too, and the fact that like all of the color timing and the effects and the compositing that gets done to these shots, it just looks amazing. You know, like it looks beautiful and like grotesque at the same time.
And you know, there's something also about, you know, you were talking about boxing and kind of like getting a lot of face shots of him, and I think that adds to the intensity of the character. You know, with his screaming all the time, and when you get the close-ups of it, it just adds to it. You know?
Well, the show is so much about like fantasy video game tropes and gaming tropes, but it's also a lot about, you know, just film tropes and cinema tropes and fantasy movie tropes and stuff. And so I think the fact that we, you know, it's 235. Yeah. So it's presented in scope and it's, you know, a lot of like singles and coverage and stuff like that. So it's definitely treated like a cinema, like a cinematic experience.
Feels like one.
Yeah,
it really does.
I don't think I've ever seen another show on television that was letterboxed. Like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
definitely like it makes it to me. It kind of makes the whole thing. You know, like when you're playing a video game and it goes to a cutscene and then like letterbox bars appear to let you know that you're in a cutscene.
Right.
It's like that kind of. Mm-hmm. I feel like it gives off that kind of vibe. You're like watching TV and then all of a sudden TV's in widescreen. You're like, oh, I better pay attention.
Right.
Yeah.
Why? Because I feel like widescreen denotes seriousness.
Right. The black bars. You better pay attention.
Yeah.
So I need to know why Tigtone. Why? Where did the name Tigtone come from?
It's kind of a boring answer. I was working on a project in college. And there was it was a film project, and there was a scene where a wall needed to have a bunch of stupid names written on it. And one of the names I came up with at the time was Tigtone, and I could not stop laughing.
And history was made on that wall.
Yeah, and then when time came to name, and when we Ben and I were developing, like we came up with the idea of an adventurer, like. A quester type character first, and then we were like, "What should we name him?" And I said, "How about Tigtone?" Because I wanted to use that name for something else because it was so stupid and funny.
Yeah,
so that's where it came from.
Yeah, well, and the reason it was Tigtone, like the Andrew and I started writing this live action fantasy feature. I think it was like 2003 or four. I think we started, and then that feature film didn't have Tigtone in it. It had like Prince Lavender in it, but it was a very different Prince Lavender. He was actually the hero of the story. But we started to write all of these live action shorts that like took place in this one universe. And one of the shorts was this character, this adventure character called Tigtone, and the short was called The Walkings of Tigtone. And it, like I said, it was live action, and we actually started to shoot it in like maybe 2005, I think,
something like that, five or six.
I can't remember. Yeah, that's sounds about right. So we actually started to shoot a live action Tigtone, and like, you know, we had like a wardrobe made, and I started to make some props, and we shot a couple of shots already, like on a blue screen. But it was just so beyond our means to try to tackle. And then I think, you know, Andrew started to play around with this motion capture stuff and was like, well, we kind of already started Tigtone, so let's just try Tigtone and see how it works, you know?
So are these live action clips you did, are these going to be bonus features on a DVD someday that we can expect?
You know, there's really, DVD? I mean,
true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Touche.
Yeah.
Touche. You know, it's funny. Yeah. You say you just had the name Tigtone just kind of laying around, you know, from your past. It's funny because I've got a similar kind of name. I think I've told you before that I have nothing to do with. Maybe if I become an animator someday I could use. But DJ Dash and the Fleshtastic Funkmasters sounds like an amazing band, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does.
Come on. I think they need a cartoon.
I mean, that sounds like a – I think that's a Tigtone villain. We got to have –
Oh, don't tease now. Don't tease, Benjamin. Another character I got to touch on quick, Helpy, who's, I was kind of telling Jack, yes. Is a cross between Wolverine with his regeneration and Kenny as he dies every episode, seemingly. This character, what's his origins? Where did he come from?
A network note.
Okay.
Sidekick.
Yeah. But I mean, to be fair, they when we started, you know, writing the season, that was the only note they had for us going in, and they were like, "Look, guys, we know this is a super cliche network note, but we think Tigtone needs a sidekick." And we were all sort of like, "Oh man," but we're also like, "Yeah, they're kind of right." So we came up with this character that we could literally, it was kind of like a middle finger to the whole idea of a sidekick, was having this character that we could just literally tear apart every episode. And we're like, let's just give him the dumbest name possible and let's just call him Helpy. And it stuck. And we all ended up, like, I think after writing the first episode, we were all sort of like in love with Helpy. And Helpy's great because he's just as crazy as Tigtone, you know, in certain ways.
Right. He does just that, help.
Yeah. True to his name, isn't he? I love
we get
that.
To get, we get to
that.
Go to some fun places with. We get to go to some really fun places and explore Helpy's character a lot in through the rest of the first season. So, if you like Helpy, hopefully you enjoy the spotlight that we put him in a little bit later.
Oh boy!
Well, I thought him being going down a zip line with the going through his mouth was spotlight enough. But if you're telling me there's more, you have my attention.
You might. So, what made you want to get into podcasting?
Oh wow!
Well, so you just turned the tables on us.
Well, that'll
where did the name Canned Air come from?
Spaceballs, actually. Yeah. Spaceballs. To be perfectly honest, but hey, we got to talk about Tigtone, man. Come on, this is about Tigtone. No, okay. New episodes. When can we? I know we just had the premiere on January 13th, and I know there have been the premiere has re-aired several nights since then. When can we expect more episodes?
Sunday night episodes, at midnight is when the premiere on TV.
Yeah,
and then the Friday every weekend before that episode airs, the episodes are available on Adult Swim's app or website starting the Friday before the episode airs.
And that's one thing I absolutely love about Adult Swim. Mm-hmm. You don't have to feel bad about missing it. And just log on to the website and watch it.
Yep.
Yeah, I love it.
On absolutely demand. It.
Well, gentlemen, I want to thank you guys so much for being here. And again, when's the next premiere happening, gentlemen? It would probably be what, this coming Sunday, the 27th?
It would be this Sunday, yeah. I think it's episode 5 and 6.
Nice.
Awesome. So we will get the links up for that and all the information put on Twitter and Facebook and all the happy social media forces that be will be promoting this. Gentlemen, thanks so much for being here and best of luck to you. This is an amazing show.
Thank you so
thank
very
you guys.
Much.
Thank
Have
you.
Fun.
Your quest is complete.
So once again, ladies and gentlemen, those were the creators of the show Tigtone, Benjamin Martian and Andrew Kohler. Be sure to set those DVRs and check out this show, because if you haven't seen it already, you are really missing out. The first episode's on YouTube, so no matter where you're at, you can check it out.
Is it the pilot one or the...
The pilot's on there.
Okay.
Yeah, not all of them thus far. I think there's, what, 4 episodes out now?
I think the last I looked, there was three, but that was before
three?
The premiere.
Okay.
So there's more than that now, I think.
Okay. So there's quite enough to get your beak wet with.
Oh, yeah.
And they're a lot of fun. They're freaking funny.
Once they're long again, 15 minutes is 15-minute episodes, shows, but yeah. They're good. There's a lot in those 15 minutes.
That's how I always felt about Mike Tyson Mysteries. That show was just... I loved that show. Like, it seemed like 30 minutes almost. Mm-hmm. But I guess, you know, when you take a 30-minute show and you cut the commercials out of it...
It's you're around 20.
20 to 22 minutes, so you're not far off, mm-hmm. I guess. But once again, I won't say it again. I will say it again. Watch Tig Tone. Set your DVRs. Check it out on YouTube and on AdultSwim.com.
It is your quest, you'll understand after you watch the show.
Yes, quest! Jack, what do we have on the website?
We go to CandairPodcast.com. You can check out our special guest show highlights, listen to the show, follow us on all our social media, see some of our YouTube videos. Buy some merch, become a patron, and you can also sign up for the Wizard World 3-day priority platinum tickets. One pair for, was it Portland, Oregon, coming up at the end of February. So
yeah,
go to the website, sign up, and hope you're a winner. If you're not, use Candair and the promo code buying tickets, you'll save 10%.
You want to feel like a rock star at the convention? This is the ticket you want.
You'll get a win.
Front row seating to all the panels. Front of the line to all the freaking autograph sessions, discounts at the different booths. I don't know which ones exactly, but I'm sure that'll be specified on the site. And early access to the floor all 3 days. What more could you ask for, right?
People to smell your own farts.
Wow. I'm sure we could ask for a lot of many things, but we're not going to, because I think that's pretty darn good. So, once again, head to the website, go to the contest page. And drop us your name, email, and follow us on Facebook. Like us on Facebook.
That's it.
Yeah. That's all there is to it. What else are we forgetting? Our other series, What If? That What If series. Don't forget to check that out. You can check out our website at What If. It's whatifpod.com, yes. Right? And we are on Twitter at What If Series and Instagram at What If PDCST.
Yes.
So be sure to check out all those avenues. It's a really good show. We're having a lot of fun with it. A lot of good content to come, and we really hope you like it. Seems to be doing pretty well.
I like it.
Yeah. Good. And once again, we are going out on the Quiet song. That's Quiet spelled without the U. Q-I-E-T. The song Get Found, which I tell you what, since I have found, I can't get out of my freaking head. Love this song. I played the YouTube video like a million times listening
really?
To this song.
I've yet to hear them.
Yeah, well, you're about to hear him.
Oh.
So, once again, going out on the song Get Found by Quiet on the album Pet Driftwood. So check them out. We're going to have links on our Twitter and social media for all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That you can get a closer look at those guys. Great band, and I really hope they come to town because my ass will be there. They would be a lot of fun. I think you'd dig them.
I think so. I'll have to listen to it.
If you,
I'll have to hang around after the show.
Remember the Talking Heads at all?
Oh, yeah.
Very much in that same kind of vein.
Okay.
I mean, who doesn't like that?
Right.
Come on. All right. So I think that about does it for this week. So until next time, I am Jeremy Colley.
I'm Jack Doherty.
Thanks for listening, everyone.
Come out from that underground. I wanna breathe the sky and come crashing down.
Feel the tingle in the bone. We know where you wanna go.
Since I was a child, I was drawn to the wild.
can't find my dad.
Hang on there, little Jimmy.
Hey, it's Alpine.
While you're waiting on your negligent parents to find you, why don't you pull out your mobile device and get on CanAirPodcast.com? Shoot, it may even help him find you.
Well, that makes no sense.
Hey, what are you doing near my son?
Time to split.
G.I. Joe.
Will we be able to know they associate the name and email to the Facebook follow?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know Facebook at all.
Yeah,
that's you.
We'll see that they did it.
Okay.
All right. What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On PressBox Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on PressBox Access.